Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here today. Before I get started with my message, I'd like to thank all those who have helped. It's been a few years since I used PowerPoint, so I asked my son to set that up for me, and he did. My daughter, Laura, who's in Toronto, has called me several times and said, "Hey, Dad, would you like me to listen to your presentation so that maybe I'll make some suggestions?" Of course, there were none needed, but she did offer some. And Chris, for when I was trying to transfer it, so I got it on the computer here to put it on the screen here, his technical assistance was appreciated. So hopefully with everyone helping me, that we're in pretty good shape. But I have to read something here that I think you'll find interesting. I got this last evening. And it said the following. It said, "Hi, Bruce. Just wanted to let you know I am struggling with a sore throat and can hardly talk. I won't be able to fill in tomorrow to deliver the sermon." My reply to him was, "You will probably be fine by tomorrow." His reply to me was, "Actually, it's getting a little worse as the evening is wearing on. I can hardly type. It hurts so bad. You will do a great job filling in tomorrow. Lord willing, we will see you at church. Nighty night." Probably most of you know who that is. So thank you, Dawn. I'm glad to see you're here today. Carol got you up. And the other thing, I was listening to Will as he's putting this together for Erica, and he said, "Mike's going to help him. Dave's going to help him. Joe's going to help him. Will's going to be there." But you know who he didn't mention? Me.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
But he does realize that I don't play an instrument and I can't sing, so that was probably a good idea to omit me. So. Okay. So, for those of you who, I see a couple new faces that don't know me, my name's Bruce Houck. I'm an elder here at the church. And Chris is also an elder. Sam Urbanik's an elder. So, I'd like to thank all the talent that we have in this church. With Will and Mike and Vonda, Sharon picked out a very appropriate song. So, if I can do as well as them, we'll be in good shape. So, if I get past noon, Dawn, raise your hand. Okay? Okay. This message is on the full armor of God and its application to spiritual warfare in our daily lives. Spiritual warfare is the inward and outward battle we face against the enemies of God. These enemies include Satan, his demons and fallen angels, and sin, which can be lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. Once we become Christians, a battle begins between the spirit, our internal spirit, and the flesh, the inward sinful nature we are born with. We just completed Ephesians in adult Sunday school about 6 weeks ago, I believe, and it talked about this. Today we will look at one of the Apostle Paul's teachings, a passage that equips us for spiritual warfare and guides our daily Christian walk. We turn our attention to Ephesians 6:10, where Paul instructs us to put on the full armor of God. And I'm going to repeat this even though Chris read it, just so we can imprint this on your memory. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth, the buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take upon the shield of faith, with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. The following is taken from a blog from Drew Larson, who is a writer for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship out of Madison, Wisconsin, that he wrote on November 13, 2015. The title is What Spiritual Warfare Is and What It Definitely Isn't. There is a reason why Paul wrote about putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 16:10. See, do we still have that up here? That's what I'm checking right now. So, there's what a Roman soldier looked like when he was dressed in the full armor of God. Kind of looks like Sam Urbanek, doesn't it? So, that's the illustration of what we're to do spiritually. Okay, put on the full armor of God. Armor as an image primes the believing imagination to see the Christian life in a certain way. A soldier who puts on armor is making a statement about the world in which they step. The moments in front of them are not perfectly safe. There is real danger in their future, danger that is not just threatening in a general way, but which offers a particular, specific threat to them personally, which is all of us. There is likewise this element of danger in the Christian life about which Paul cautions the Ephesian church. It is a danger that is not just from within ourselves, but that also has a particular, specific, external source, a spiritual entity we call Satan, the accuser, or the devil. We know this because in verses 11 and 12, Paul says that the reason for putting on the full armor of God is so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As to what it is, let me hazard this as a short definition. Spiritual warfare is the leveraging of everything that God promises against everything that opposes God's promises. So if you think you're having a bad day, and maybe we need to make sure our armor is on because the devil is working for us. He doesn't want us to do anything in God's will. He's against everything of God's will. So if you're having a bad day and saying, oh boy, I wish I would, just stop and think a second. Maybe we need to put that armor on. God is a God of purposes and promises. Purposes to redeem the world and promises to judge wickedness. Purposes to grow the children into maturity and promises to unfailingly steward that process. Purpose to save us and glorify his name and promises about our lives and about his holy character. Satan and his spiritual forces oppose all of that. They oppose all of God's purposes for salvation and redemption, as well as his every promise for accomplishing it. In non-Christians, the enemy and his forces will attempt to prevent salvation. In Luke, Paul has a parable about a farmer sowing seeds, Luke 8:11 and 12. This is the meaning of the parable. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved and encourage sin. Also in Ephesians, Paul described the state of the non-Christians in Ephesians 2:1-3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. In Christians, they will attempt to sever our connection with God, prey on our natural inclination to sin, and deceive us into believing untruths that might hinder our discipleship or cause us to lose our effectiveness for God's kingdom. I'm going to reference some verses that show us this. Their primary tools for this opposition are lies. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must eat none of the tree in the garden?'" Again, questioning. John 8:44, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies and temptations." And Matthew 4:1-11, this is where Jesus tested the wilderness and answered Satan with scripture. I didn't print that all out. I think you're pretty familiar with that. Given that dramatic and mildly scary contest, scripture has two valuable promises for us, one ultimate and the other immediate. The first is that while these forces are admittedly powerful, Satan is described as a roaring lion looking to devour people. They are ultimately subservient to our almighty and omnipotent God. Paul writes, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." That's Philippians 1:8. Jesus said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." That's John 10:29. Paul wrote, "And we know then for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That's Romans 8:28. The other promise is that we have immediate assistance available to us. This is the purpose of the armor of God that Paul mentions. While we are ultimately destined for the safety of heaven, in the here and now, we are assailed by the fiery darts of the evil one. That's in Ephesians 6:16. When that happens, we have the promise that in our this second, right now need, if we don the full armor of God, the full array of his promises for us, which are truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, God's word, which is prayer, we can stand firm against any attack. If this is not you, which is to say, if you are a Christian brother or sister who constantly seems to be getting cut, bloodied, or wounded by the jabs and thrusts of the enemy and cannot understand why, I have difficult and exciting news to share. There is armor available to you. Learning to put it on will likely be hard work, but the best of your spiritual life is in your future. You are not meant for weakness. You are meant for strength. James 4:7. Excuse me. "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield the valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Strength that comes not from you, but to you from Christ. Being strong in the Lord, in the strength of his mighty, of his might. Ephesians 6:10. The armor of God is and is yours for the wearing. Don't protect yourself with tissue paper, not when steel is needed and when steel is at hand. Thus ends his blog. Paul was acutely aware of the spiritual battle that every believer faces. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. The battle is not physical, but spiritually fought against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. Therefore, we must equip ourselves with God's armor to withstand these attacks and to stand firm in our faith. And the first of those is the belt of truth. The belt held the Roman soldier's armor together. Truth in our spiritual armor does the same. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14:6. Truth anchors us, preventing deception and lies from leading us astray. In today's world, we are surrounded by relativism and misinformation. We must discern truth through the scriptures and uphold it in our lives. Sam says that constantly to us in our morning Sunday school class. If in doubt, go to the scriptures. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects a soldier's heart and vital organs. Similarly, righteousness safeguards our hearts against the attacks that aim to corrupt our moral integrity. We are called to live righteously, not by our strength, but through the righteousness given by Jesus Christ. Let's strive to live in a way that honors God, keeping our hearts pure. The shoes of the gospel of peace. A soldier needs sturdy shoes to advance in battle. The gospel of peace prepares us to stand firm and to move forward. In a world filled with conflict and strife, we are to be peacemakers, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Let our presence be a beacon of peace and good news among turmoil. The shield of faith. The shield was a soldier's primary defense against the enemy's arrows. Faith, our shield, extinguishes the flaming arrows of doubt, fear, and temptation. It is through faith that we trust in God's promises and protection. In moments of trial, hold fast to your faith, for it will defend you and keep you grounded. The helmet of salvation. The helmet protects a soldier's head, the control center for the rest of the body. Salvation, our helmet, protects our minds from the thoughts of doubt and insecurity about our standing with God. Remember, you are saved by grace through faith. The assurance fortifies our minds against the enemy's lies about our worth and our destiny. The sword of the Spirit. The sword is the only offensive weapon in the armor. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. It is our weapon against the lies and temptations of the enemy. Study the scriptures, for they are your guide and defense. Spoken in faith, the word can cut through the enemy's deceptions and bring victory. The power of prayer. While not listed as a piece of armor, prayer is the glue that holds it all together. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions builds our communication with God. strengthening us and bringing divine insight and power into our lives. Be vigilant in prayer for yourself and for all God's peoples. So, the armor of God, it describes how Christians can create a strong spiritual defense against the world's secular, non-religious influence. We need not only to read the Bible, but also do what the Bible tells us to do. So reading it and then applying that to our daily lives. How to put on the armor of God. Joshua 1:8. Keep the book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So read your Bible. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meetings together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This means we need to encourage one another because we know the day of Christ is coming. All you have to do is look around at the world. So keep coming to Sunday school and church. Go to church activities so that you can associate with fellow Christians. So that encourages everyone. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Thankfully, our spiritual armor is to be used in a war that has already been won. We know that in the end, Jesus conquers all. It is said of Napoleon Bonaparte that as he attempted to conquer all the kingdoms of the known world, he spread a map on a table, pointed to a specific place, and said to his lieutenants, "Sirs, if it weren't for that red spot, I could conquer the world." The spot to which he pointed was the British Isles, the very nation that met Napoleon at Waterloo in Belgium and defeated him in his league. Of course, right? defeated him in his league with a group of nations. There is no doubt that when Satan talks with his minions about conquering the world, he says the same thing about a red hilltop of Calvary, where Christ's blood was spilled for the redemption of our souls. If it were not for that red spot, I could rule the world. So Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary for our sins. In conclusion, how am I doing, Don? Okay. In conclusion, this is our spiritual defense against the devil. Putting on the full armor of God is not a one-time event, but a daily, intentional practice. It requires us to live in the truth, to pursue righteousness, to spread the gospel of peace, to hold firm in our faith, to rest in the assurance of our salvation, to wield God's word effectively, and to be persistent in prayer. By doing this, we can resist the devil's schemes and stand firm, shining as God's warriors in this modern age. Christians sometimes think that once they are saved, that's all there is to it. Actually, that's just the beginning. Now, Satan is after you because you said that you belong to Christ. So now you're going to have a harder time once you become a Christian than you did before you became a Christian, because now he doesn't want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So he's going to do everything he can to destroy that. Hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit, find the strength to put on the divine armor every day. And may we stand firm against the forces of evil, walking in victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.